This episode's going to be pretty unique because I'm asked to be the guest speaker for this gentleman, Tim Bernard. He retires, as a matter of fact, tomorrow, as I say this into the microphone. Within 24 hours, I'll be saying a retirement speech for this young man. And I say young because he's younger than me. I feel old as shit because I remember when this guy was in battalion as like a young E3 way back in the day. And the last time I seen him was over a decade ago. Since then, he's gone on to be in several other commands, earn his master's degree, and have three kids. So crazy. And his kids are all like 16, 15, and like 13 or something. You know, and this dude, good people. I'm looking forward to a year from now to do a lot of the follow-ups from some of the questions I asked now. And like, how do you feel about getting out? How do you feel about retiring? We'll follow his journey a year from now and ask how the VA helped him process and all that other stuff, because it's been a lot better for people processing out than it used to be, fortunately. And let's cue that CB song. Say something again. That's the best something you can say. It was just something at all.
Yeah, so. Say something.
All right, cool, man. So the only thing scripted is your name, as I like to say. So friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I am here with
Tim Bernard.
All right, cool. Hold the microphone a little bit closer to your mouth that way. So Tim, you're active duty service member, Navy CB. How many years so far?
21.
21. And then how many days do you have left till you're not an active duty service member?
Terminal is in 10 days.
Okay. So does that mean like you're still showing up for work for the next 10 days or?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically how many days till you're like retired?
2 months.
2 months, dude. How does 21 years of service go by? How fast or slow did it feel?
The first 10 years went by slow, and then the last 11 years went by rather quickly.
Okay. Where are you from originally?
Originally from Maine.
Maine. Okay. And then you're going to finish your career, or finish life, not life, but you're going to finish your life. No, but you're going from Maine, and then how did you pick Phoenix for where you're going to retire to?
Well, it's probably going to kill me, but ironically, it happened when... years ago, my wife and I got in an argument, and I pretty much told her when I was staring higher tenure in the face as an E5 that when I'm out, either going to be moving to Nevada or Arizona.
Okay.
And so I pretty much put the ball in her court, and she chose Arizona.
So what was the deciding factor of Arizona or Nevada?
She knew more people in Arizona than she did in Nevada.
For you though, like what made you say I want to go to Arizona?
First, I didn't want to stay in California. But I didn't want to go back to the East Coast either.
I love it here, but I know a lot of people like to call it California, right, which is always kind of funny. But I get it. I get it. Because it's different. Definitely different, you know, yeah. Especially taxes and all that other fun stuff makes it really kind of difficult. But what's your hometown itself?
I was born and raised in a little rural town called Harrison, Maine.
Okay. So with Harrison being like where you're from, what made you decide to go in the military then?
Because of 9/11.
9/11? Oh, no shit. Okay. Yeah. 9/11 did it. All right. So, and then how long after 9/11 did you end up joining up?
I was a senior when 9/11 happened. So after I got released from school that day, I went to the recruiting station.
That day. Oh, jeez.
And, I had to wait, obviously, finished my high school and left boot camp the next July.
Nice, man. So that whole time, delayed entry program up until... And then what job did you pick?
Builder.
Okay, and that's what you've been the whole time. So that's pretty cool. Builder, for those who don't know, is a Navy CB job, in the construction battalions. And what was your first command?
NMCB 40.
Hoorah, 40, which leads me to, say thank you because you asked me to be your guest speaker for your retirement, which is
June 2nd, 10 a.m.
You didn't know there was a test coming up. All right, so June 2nd, June 2nd, 10 a.m. Where at?
CB Museum.
You guys heard it here. Freaking be there, man. Especially if you're a 40 alumni and you're in the Wyneme area, come through. I mean, it means a lot to me, and also because I love 40. We talked about it a lot on here. I know Captain Jeff Powell will probably be like, "Obi, 40 sucks. I get it. He doesn't like us." He was a big three guy back in the day when they were brother sister battalions. Now it's right. Just kind of a, you know, 4-5, 3-4-5 thing. But then it was like 5-4, and then 40-3.
Yeah.
So where did you deploy first when you went to?
A really arduous country called the Bahamas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's really hard. Three bars on the island.
Dude, what year was this?
2003.
How dare you go to like, Andros Island, was it?
It was.
Let me shut these doors because I can hear the cars.
Andros Island. What did you do? Like, what projects?
We built a barracks for the civilians.
So you said you built barracks for basically you built hotels for the people that work there.
Yeah, pretty much a one bedroom room with the bathroom and a kitchenette.
That's not bad, man. That's cool. And then after that, where'd you go?
After that, I went to I started out in Okinawa. Then we got redeployed to Indonesia for the whole tsunami relief.
Oh, sweet. Well, that's one of the things I love doing. I know it's shitty because of the conditions and like living and stuff like that. But when you have the opportunity to help out, like, how did you feel doing that job?
It was a great experience. No, got two months sea pay underneath my belt.
Yeah.
No, flying from the ship to the shore. It was a pretty neat experience.
So how did that go down? You said you got sea. So did you take a boat there, or you flew out to a ship and then took the ship, or how did that work?
We got picked up at White Beach in Okinawa by a ship, and then we sailed that way. It's pretty neat experience being on a ship for that length of a time.
How long were you on the ship?
Total was 2 months till we got back.
Gotcha. It's crazy too, because like hardly ever CBs go on ships, man.
Right.
So having that opportunity to do that's pretty cool. That was like in like every magazine there was that basically said, "See, CBs do go on ships sometimes."
Right.
You know. So like, when you were in Indonesia, what was the the day to day routine?
When we did go ashore, we moved over. I can't remember how many tons we moved. But you know, food, water, supplies, surveying buildings. It was pretty much the day to day. When we didn't go on shore, we stayed on ship, we just pretty much watched TV all day or play cards.
Okay. So like, and then you're going back and forth. Did you fly back and forth, or did you take like a little barge, or?
Yeah, we flew back and forth from a helicopter.
That's awesome. How did your equipment get to shore?
Equipment stayed on the boat because the Indonesian military, their field training exercise was humanitarian disaster, and the Americans came over and taking over their country.
Oh, okay. So you just kind of took their dozers and excavators, or how did that work to get supplies in?
We flew by helicopter, and the supplies came by helicopter.
Gotcha.
All our equipment stayed on the boat,
except for non-rates.
Right.
Yeah. Non-rate construction, non-petty officers is they like to be called nowadays. I like to be called non-rate when I was, because it's like it was a rite of passage when you finally made it. So how long was that time that you stayed in that area?
Stayed in about 6 weeks. And also we also hit during our cruise back, we hit Phuket, Thailand, and Singapore.
And then you guys are like, "Fuck it, let's get out of here."
Right. And obviously after all that, we sailed back to Okinawa and finished our deployment.
Did you have Liberty when you were in Singapore?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Anything cool happen there?
We went everywhere.
Okay.
Went to a spot, it's called Four Floors of Horse.
Oh, that still exists?
Right, yeah, it still exists. So it was a fun experience.
All right.
Just don't spit on the sidewalk in Singapore when you get arrested or caned.
Bang the hookers and the four floors of horse, or four floors of horse. But don't spit on the sidewalk, man. That's definitely not good. And then you ended up getting caned and stuff like that on a, you know, international incident.
Let's not do that.
Yeah. That's okay. And then meanwhile, if you're in Okinawa, you're just vomiting, walking, throughout the entire town. It's projectile vomit everywhere. No big deal. You spit on the ground in Singapore. That's an international incident.
It was.
You can look like a chucking sprinkler, like, blah, 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 and it's going to be totally okay. But awesome, man. So that's cool. And that's one place I really, really want to go check out is the Singapore. Everything's just always so like pretty about it. You know what I mean? It's obviously they've done that for a reason.
We even found Hooters in Singapore.
What?
Of all places.
Nice, man. Good food?
I went there just for their hot wings.
Definitely not for anything else but the hot wings.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hot women wings. Then, so you did Singapore, Okinawa, back in Oki, and this is 2004 then?
2005.
Okay, so 2004, 2005 was the Indonesia, all that other stuff. Where'd you spend New Year's that year, Christmas and stuff?
It was like, in Okinawa.
Oki? Gotcha. Oki's always interesting during Christmas time.
Oh, we were drunk all weekend.
What do you expect? You're a CB, that's what you do.
Especially then during those days.
Yeah. Know. It's a lot different back then, for sure. So back in Okinawa, and then what kind of projects were you doing the rest of that deployment?
Retaining walls.
Retaining walls? Nice. We're at back on White Beach, or
no? It was on Camp Shields.
Camp Shields, okay.
Across from the mini mart.
Okay. Right.
Outside of the gate.
Yeah, that was back when the gate was out on the outside.
Correct.
Yeah, because like they moved the gate and everything. You know, that was kind of crazy how everything in Camp Shields, for those that haven't been there since, you know, like the early 2000s, they moved the gate and housing, because there's that housing down at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah, that's still there.
It's inside the gate now, because before the gate was actually inside Camp Shields, and then they pushed the gate out. So now you have to go through the gate to go to the mini mart and to housing at the bottom of that hill. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, what? I can't believe you guys did this, because that was like the old PT days, screaming cadence, running around through there. And then I remember good old Master Chief Tom Stanley was just like, that's it. Let's just wake these people up. And we're clapping. And then we start, you know, screaming cadence and housing. Always fun. This also
good old days. Don't really do that anymore.
Yeah. It was also the 90s. So it was a little bit different from then to now. And then Oki come back to the United States with good old Fighting 40. So that'd have been like 05.
Yep.
And that's when I checked into 40. It was 05. Straight out of recruiting duty in Ohio. So I wasn't fortunate enough to have the people from 9/11 joining. I had the people that were like, I don't want to go because Iraq just started joining.
Right.
So that was definitely interesting. After that, all right, so you do home port. What did you do all that home port? Just train for the desert or?
2 months in, obviously, and then Hurricane Katrina hit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, man.
And we got redeployed to the Gulf Coast. Probably hurt some feelings here, but since Gulfport battalions didn't really do anything, so they needed the West Coast battalions to save them.
Well, it was really, I can see both ends of that one. And here's kind of the thing is like, you know, God bless them. They really couldn't do anything because there's like, leave. They were just told to get the fuck out of here. Go
right.
Back to Ohio. Go to Cincinnati. I mean, if they coulda, they woulda. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, so I think 133, one of those battalions got extended on deployment. Like all kinds of crazy shit. And I actually really kind of felt bad, you know, because it was just like, you know, because they all got sent home. So, of course, you know, 40 was the first there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In my first shore duty, I met actually a couple people who were there during that time, and one of the people that was there said he was in Rota, Spain, and he only got 4 days to come home to fix his house up and get back to Rota, Spain.
Yeah, man. Was it 133 that was gone at that time?
I don't remember.
But yeah, man. I just felt really bad for a lot of those cats, you know. Insane. And then I remember calling Jimmy Redinger. Because it was like Dinger and I were talking about checking into 40. It was like I was emailing Christy Thrift, Master Chief Thrift, back and forth, and like all the other friends. I think we were using MySpace at the time, it was prior to Facebook. Maybe it was Facebook.
We're aging ourselves now.
Yeah. And it's like, it was cool because like a whole bunch of my homies were all going to the same battalion at once. And then so cool to meet up old friends. And like you're saying, it's just that there's so many people in the Seabees, dude, that you can run into. Like your friend was in Spain, you know. What did you do during the hurricane cleanup?
A little bit of everything, really. I went and started in Gulfport, then hopped on a C-130 with four of our pilots and go to Naval Air Station in New Orleans. I remember some first class told me if this stops in Corpus Christi, Texas, and these pilots get off the plane, you get off the plane. And at this point, I'm just a young, you know, BU-3, E-4. I'm like, oh, gee, I hope this doesn't happen because I don't want to be stranded in Texas somewhere.
Like, that's it. You're going to stay here. So when you said a little bit of everything, what's a little bit of everything? Like chainsawing trees and stuff?
Yeah, chainsawing the perimeter road and on the New Orleans base, you know, repairing a fence, repairing a roof, you know, picking up trash, cleaning up the Armed Forces Retirement Home down in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Yeah.
That was a disaster.
Man, I can only imagine. Have you been back since?
I went back in 2018. For a class down in New Orleans. And they really did clean up well.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
When she drove to Gulfport, because it was only like an hour drive. Because I had a rental car. Lucky me. And the Gulfport base just really changed from last time I was there. Even when I was in A school. No, almost 21 years ago now.
Yeah, they did wonders, man. They really cleaned that place up. Man, it looks habitable. If it wasn't for like the heat and the humidity and all that other stuff, I'd be like, this is an awesome place. But I just swamp ass out there, and then like I know my friends that are watching this that are Gulfport CBs will be like, you just enjoy your California, Brian. you go ahead, have your California, blah blah blah. But it's, you know, it is it's just always a fun rivalry, the East versus West, and you know, and it's funny because you end up playing on the other team every once in a while. You get stuck there, or you choose to go there, one or two. Oh, you know,
I absolutely refuse to go to Gulfport Battalion. Really? I can't stand the humidity.
That was kind of like me. I did 5-4, 40-3, like. All four of the Wainimi battalions when I was in. And then so after Katrina, man, that's not a whole lot because after that you had to come back and ramp up for deployment. You know,
did a Winterfex. It was really cold and shit.
Oh yeah,
in December between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you can see the frost coming across the ground in the morning. It was cold.
Damn, my call sign was Wolverine, and like I had all kinds of. I was reading a lot of comic books. What do you expect? I remember that frozen ground, man. Like we all had the little tents for parts of it. Yeah, had the little tents for the beginning of it. I was doing the convoy stuff, and where were you at during that field exercise?
I was sitting in a 240 Bravo pit, and that's when Oliver North came out and did the war stories on the CBs.
Yeah.
And I met Marvin Shields' chief when he came out to our bridge debt site.
Nice.
That was pretty interesting.
So, like, did he give him a big tour, or was it, you know, hand out coins or anything like that? Or
this is normal how it is. No dignitary shows up. It's big, no big song and dance.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, the aggressors aggressed us and, you know, let up all the weapon systems. So, this is pretty much just a big song and dance for Marvin Shields' chief.
Nice. It's still cool to come out, but sometimes it's like, ugh, gotta get everything like prim and proper. But you know,
right?
We should show them how shitty it is. Get out here sometimes. No, that's awesome, dude. You got a chance to do that because like the whole Marvin Shields is just—it's insane. You know how badass. You know the one, rest in peace. The other Marvin Shields was, you know, and then you had. You get ready for deployment after that, and then where'd you go?
Went to Iraq after that deployment.
Cool. What part?
Baghdad, Al-Asad, and back to Baghdad.
That's cool, man. That's crazy, because, you know, do you remember Jason Johnson, Builder? Because he was like, dude, I grew up with. I was, he was a Baghdad area, too, so... Yeah, I was like in Fallujah. I spent that half of the time in the Fallujah side. What'd you do in Iraq, man?
Just building SWAT hunts for the Army Special Forces. And we actually got done early, so they actually brought us out to, you know, shoot their cool weapon systems. How cool the CBs have.
Yeah. When you say cool weapon systems, what'd you get to blow up?
Oh, a little bit of everything.
Okay. Like what?
Like the Haji vehicles, you know, makeshift tanks, that sort of stuff. They show us their scopes, their thermal optic scopes. You can put a hand on the wall and take it off and you can see the heat signature.
Nice, dude.
That was pretty neat.
That's all through the scopes and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that heat signature stuff is just like, it reminds me of a Predator. Remember the, right. Yeah. It's like, it's insane how like close to the movie Predator some of those things are, you know? Now.
Shot there, Mark 19, which is pretty much the automatic grenade launcher.
Yeah,
that was pretty neat.
Yeah, who some kid, some 12-year-old was like, you know, it'd be really cool. Let's take 40-millimeter grenades. Or probably he was like, you know, it'd be really cool. Grenades almost the size of your fist. And then make a machine gun out of it. And then that would be awesome. And then they're like, you know what? Let's fucking do it.
So, probably how it came about.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me any.
Where'd you get to shoot those at? Those like you got a nice little range right outside Baghdad somewhere, or
no? That was in Al Asad.
Al Asad. Okay, gotcha. By the way, the only place I had a Burger King,
right, and a Pizza Hut.
Yeah, because I remember like because you had two convoy teams. You had Dingers and you had Newmans. Well, actually, it's Rolls and Sanchez were the chiefs. And anytime they went, man, I was doing a lot of metal work. From the steel shop, and be like, dude, can you? They were like, dude, we got you. We'll bring back some cheeseburgers. Shit. That was like a reward, bringing back cheeseburgers from Al Asad. You know, MSR uranium. That was the one that was fucking horrible, man. So, how long were you out there? The entire time. Well, you said you bounced between each one.
Yeah, full time was about 6 months in country.
Okay. Cool. Then after that, when you come back to the States and get ready for another deployment, Kuwait. Oh no, yeah. The next one was like main body went Kuwait.
Yeah,
and Kuwait in Africa, and then there's a couple other debt sites too. So
yeah, well, I missed out on the 07 deployment because of my wife's medical issues. But
oh, okay. What happened? If you don't mind me asking, or if not, we'll just skip over it.
She had complications with her pregnancy of our first son.
Gotcha. And you still had him?
Hmm?
Or did you lose your kid? Or just
no, he's alive. He's actually.
Yeah,
he's
like 15. Sometimes I wish he lost him in the mall, but we're glad he's alive now.
Yeah. No. 15, actually being recruited by like three colleges right now, playing what? College football.
That's awesome, man. 15 years old, college football.
Yeah.
Nice.
Excited to see what his future brings.
Yeah, that's cool, man. How many kids you got now?
I got three.
Three? Man. Good to finally get a chance. Now you can be dad, you know what I'm saying? Then you'd be like, dude, I just need to go in the reserve so I can get away from you guys. I'm kidding.
No. I'm done after I go in terminal. I'm done.
Yeah, 21 years, dude. So that then you transfer out of 40, you go where else do you go after that, man?
Well, after I went left 4, I went to FSB the 31st.
Okay, cool, cool.
Obviously it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, now it's a group.
Yeah,
so
then I went from there, I went to Naval Air Station in Brunswick, Maine, which no longer exists.
Okay. You just decomming everything, dude. What do you do, man? 40, goodbye 40. Right? Brunswick, Maine, goodbye Maine.
No. First three commands I was in the Navy, they no longer exist anymore. You all get decommed.
Well, before we get to the third one that you got rid of, what did you do in Maine?
It was Public Works Department, so it was...
Oh, cool.
It's pretty much shutting the base down.
Oh, all right. After you dismantled there, where'd you go next?
NCB-5.
Five, okay. Five's still around.
It is.
So that's cool. That was my first deployment, or first battalion. First battalion and first deployment. NMCB-5.
So I was planning on going back to 40, but my chief, when I was on shore duty, said, no, you don't want to go back to the battalion you left from. I was like, yes, I do.
Yeah. That was one of the ones where it would have been everybody the most. I was in, like I said, I was in the 4 in Wainimi, and 40 was the one with the most repeat offenders.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was the most repeat offending criminals out of all of them. Like five, I'd be in 5. I was in people like Marty Yingling and a lot of other cats that were when I was in four, I saw people that were in five with me. And then when I was in three, I was like, oh, you know, I run into a lot of other people. I was like, holy shit. But yeah, 40 was like the repeat offender thing. I remember running into like Droopy Solis, people like that. They're like, yeah, I was in 40 before and now I'm here again. It's like, fuck yeah, dude. You know, that's cool. Five. And then what's that?
Remember Solis.
Yeah, Droopy. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
God out of damn. I used to drink a lot of beers with that cat. The old Top Deck. It's funny because that bar is now a dispensary.
Yes, so
that's,
it is.
That's what really trips me out, you know? All right, so Five. Did you go any places with Five or any deployments?
I didn't. My first deployment with them was in Remoro, Spain, then to Djibouti, Africa. And Sasebo, Japan.
Oh, shit, okay.
And in Okinawa, then Fuji, Japan. Then back to Okinawa.
Hell yeah. I helped build the armory in Oki. In Mount Fuji. Corey Stevens was like, I think one of the dudes like, get Obi up here. I need, you know. Mm-hmm. I was not Sugi. They pulled me up. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, dude. What did you think of Fuji? Because it was so beautiful, right?
I enjoy myself there in Fuji.
Yeah.
Climbed the mountain twice. So it was a good experience.
Way cool.
Yeah. Corey Stevens now a civilian, or Mr. Stevens now.
Yeah, that's right. Good old Corey Stevens. Good dude. Bad motherfucker. I love that cat, man. Good people. I don't care if anybody knows it. I love that motherfucker. Good people. We used to rip on a lot of people. We had a lot of fun with Corey and I and Oki. And then also fast forward to Oki, and then the next year, I made second class on restriction, and we were in Bravo Company together when that happened. Long story. Anyway, he always had my back. Good dude. Fast forward to Five. You finished your Five tour, and then where'd you go after that?
Well, I almost didn't finish my Five tour. I almost separated Five because of higher tenure.
Oh,
so I struggled to make first.
So let's stay on that first, because higher tenure, not a lot of people are familiar with that. It's X amount of years you can serve per pay grade, and then you have to get out. Like for me, when higher tenure for E6 was 20 years, so I retired at 20.
Yeah, you know, now it's 22.
Now it's 22. Okay, but the back in 2015-16, it was 20. You know, and so it's kind of like how I'm. You know, did my 20 and did and enrolled. And for an you're second class, right? So as an E5, what was it? Is it 14?
It was 14.
Okay. Gotcha. And then you made first right away or not right away, but you made first at the deadline?
I went over the deadline because I missed it in March 16 exam. Your career counselor at the time, he's now retired, came down and said, hey, you want to extend through deployment? First, I turned it down.
Right.
And he's like, well, talk over to your wife and come back tomorrow. We'll know the answer. It's okay. So I talked with my wife and I told her, I was like, no, I'm done. And there's no point of extending, kicking the can further down the road. So my thinking was I was never going to make first class.
Right.
And my better half said, you're doing it. And I said, yes, dear.
That's how it works, man.
So I extended and actually made it off the September 2016 exam.
Oh, nice. So okay, cool.
I finally got frocked at the first class, roughly my 14 and a half year mark.
Perfect, man. Wow. It's hard to believe 2016's already been that long ago.
7 years ago.
Yeah, I know. That's my retirement was when 2016, man. And then, so you finished up your time in Five and you finished through that deployment. Was that the Okinawa Fuji?
That was Okinawa deployment.
Okay. And after, where'd you go after Oki?
First Naval Construction Regiment.
One NCR.
Part of the RSS staff.
First Naval Construction Regiment. One NCR. Okay.
Reserve Regiment.
All right. Where was that? And was that Port Hueneme, California?
It was in Hueneme.
Okay. Because I know there's some weird shit where things get shuffled around. So Guam, Hawaii, you know, Hueneme. And it's just like, well, we're going to stand up. This building is going to be here in Guam for 4 years. Oh, you know what? Maybe Hawaii was a better idea. You know, they shell game a lot of these places, it seems like, right? Sometimes. So that's cool. So you stayed in Hueneme, basically just went across the street from where you were. Then what'd you do?
Cross the base, but.
Yeah. Technically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Across the street. Really across the base. What did you do at the regiment or whatever?
Writing reserve orders for their weekly or their quarterly
training.
And quarterly training, and part of it was also the training leading petty officer.
Cool,
man. That was pretty neat experience. See what the reserves do on a daily basis.
Gotcha. All right.
My hats off to them because they can juggle two careers, not just one.
Yeah, I love initially I won't mention the unit because I had a very bad experience with reserves and I was like, oh fuck these guys. But then when we were in when I was in Kuwait, it was a 07-08 deployment with Kuwait. We had NMCB 26 and NMCB 14 were in there. Coolest motherfuckers, man. Hard working people. You know, 26, rest in peace, the battalion's gone. They were fucking awesome, dude. So
it was, they were.
Yeah, and it's just like, wow. So these cats, the ones that want to work, you know. And it's like that with active duty, too. You know, there's a lot of active duty people where are just like, dude, you're just here because you're collecting a paycheck and we can't fire you. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you can only send somebody to another company or department so often. So, all right, writing orders, do all that stuff. After that, where'd you go?
Diego Garcia.
Oh, snap. Were you there a year, 2 years?
Yep, for a whole year.
Unaccompanied, 1 year, Diego Garcia?
Yeah, unaccompanied.
What was that like?
It was fun. I enjoyed my time there. Did a lot of drinking, a lot of fishing. I guess you can say I was a drunk fisherman.
Yeah, drunken sailor fishing. That sounds about right. Drunken sailor, construction worker that fishes a lot. Okay. Sounds like hell.
The only downfall was obviously couldn't bring my family with me because they didn't have the infrastructure to, you know, support family and dependents. But then it was fun. I enjoyed my time there.
What kind of work did you do?
We assessed the contractors on the island, make sure they're adhering to the contract.
Okay. So it's like you weren't really doing much building. You were just making sure everybody else that was doing the shit was up to par.
Right.
That's crazy. That's cool because you're just like, all right, CB's built this island. Now you guys maintain it.
Pretty much.
After you left there, where'd you go?
NCB3.
Hurrah, 3. Okay, cool. Milder than most. I'm just kidding. Better than best. So when did you check into 3 then?
September of 21.
And that's okay. And that's where you're retiring out of. Yep. Good old 3. Gotcha, man. That's where I retired out of as well. You know, so that's definitely interesting. Did you do any deployments with this command?
Yeah, just Okinawa.
Okay. That's cool, man. Any work?
Well, I was started out in Delta Company as an adjutant.
Okay.
/ safety. Then from there, I went to the Chief Master of Arms office. You know, making people pee in a cup.
Yeah.
And then writing wash bills for the E6s and below.
Okay. You
know, and escorting people to, you know, DRBs, XYs, and captain's mast.
Yikes. Right? You're the man, man. Oh, man. I love Oki. It was my first and my last deployment site, you know, so it's so crazy. Like, how much do you think it changed since, like, your first time there and your last time there?
Well, obviously, there's new barracks, so everybody's not crammed into the Hilton. Like,
what?
Like, 3 to 4 a room like it used to be.
Wow.
There's actually Wi-Fi in every room now.
What?
Yeah.
Free?
No, you got to pay for it, but...
Okay.
No, it's not. You don't have to go into Gdynia to get, you know, the Wi-Fi hookup or whatever.
Yeah.
Or go to the MWR place to, you know, call home or get on the internet. You can just do it in comfort of your own room.
Nice, man. Damn. Yeah, because that was... I remember that was, like, the thing. My first deployment, nobody had... maybe one or two people had a PlayStation. Now it's like the last deployment, and everybody, if you had one, you're a computer nerd,
right?
And you're a geek playing video games. And then my last deployment, everybody had it, and it was like, this is how I call my family back home, you know. My cousin Ryan and I playing Call of Duty or some shit like overseas. So cool, man. So you're getting ready to retire. Did you go through like a TAPS class or GTAP or whatever it's called now?
Yeah, I went through GPS class.
GPS,
technically TAPS.
Yeah, that's it. GPS. Now, like, did you learn a lot of good shit out of it, or do you think it was kind of like, you know, very fast paced and force fed?
I did learn a lot of it, but it was only 3 days, so it was kind of fast paced. First biggest thing is just know how to write a resume.
Yeah, I felt like they spent a little too much time on it, which I get it. I understand, but it was like there's benefits that they really should have focused more on, you know, like the VSO stuff. You know? But, yeah. You know, that's I wish they would have focused that. How much time did they, because that was when I went in. I don't know what it's like now, but you just left. So, like, the veteran service officer portion about getting your benefits, but how much time do they cover on that?
They spend a good day covering good. The VA, no benefits and everything. There's a huge book.
Yeah.
And the VA rep came in and talked about everything in that book and what we're entitled to, what we're not entitled to.
That's awesome. Because it was like maybe like half a day, and it was more like a quarter of that half a day was actually useful, and the other kind was just talking about who he was. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck who you are, dude. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I want to know about my benefits, man.
Right.
You know, and a lot of, I mean, almost everything needs a resume, so I get that. So, but the thing is it's a big part of it, you know, and then your capstone and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Because this has got to be really, really strange because it hasn't hit you fully yet, and it won't for a while. It's kind of like when somebody close to you dies, you know, like, it's like it doesn't feel real. And then, like, months and months go by, and you're like, holy shit, this is real. And that's kind of like how it feels when the career's over with. So, like, how do you feel right now about, like, being on your way out and separating?
Last month has been an emotional roller coaster.
Okay.
You know, remembering the good stuff, the bad parts, you know, starting to say goodbye to people. You know, it's been an emotional roller coaster.
Gotcha. Like, well, like, when you say, like, could you define what you meant by that?
Say it's hard to say goodbye to people.
Yeah.
After being in the military for so long.
Just walk around the boombox. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. What was that, Boys to Men? What's the
one? I have no idea.
I don't remember. But that song stuck in my head now. But it's true. And, you know, it just gets stranger and stranger. And, like, sometimes I look in the mirror and now, being gone for 7 years, it's just like, man... It's either A, I can't believe I did that shit. You know right. what I mean? It's like so cool. It's like, what? And then B, it's like, I feel like I should go back. Every once in a while, I feel like I left my weapon somewhere. And as silly as that sounds, man. What are you looking forward to now, though? I mean, because you got a bright future now, man. And you're young. How old are you?
40 years old.
40 fucking years old, dude. Collecting a retirement and then, you know, probably a disability of a sort. So you got... For the rest of your life, you're getting paid.
Yeah, right.
Your rent's fucking covered. That's a very good feeling, man.
It is.
It feels fucking awesome. What are you looking forward to next?
For the moment, spend time with family. My wife, my children.
Hell yeah.
No, reconnecting with them. I feel like I've missed a lot of their lives being deployed for, you know, months on end.
Yeah. Any kind of goals, like what you want to do as a job next or anything like that, or...
Get into project management.
Okay, cool. So, and that's like all around the Phoenix area? Or?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Applied anywhere or anything like that?
Yeah, probably applied in a bunch of places. Just waiting to hear back at this point. Just cool. Had a few interviews and still waiting to hear back.
Moments like this, I wish Andy Bugs had a freaking Facebook. I'd be like, dude, yo, he was in 40 with us, bro. But he doesn't have Facebook. Yeah. Maybe his wife's watching. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, hire this guy. He's good people. That's cool. When you plan on packing out and doing all that other fun stuff?
Leaving state of California June 9th.
June 9th. All right. You ready?
I am ready.
It's like, sounds like PT. Always ready.
Right.
I'm going to pull this up real quick because, like, see if we had any questions or any comments or any concerns, man. So, like, you know... So Friday, man, Friday's the real deal, dude. How do you feel about that?
Well, meteorologist forecast said this morning is going to be cloudy with a chance of rain, or partly cloudy with a chance of rain, excuse me.
Well, that's the weather, but what's your emotional feelings about it? Yeah. Thanks for the weather update, sir.
There's probably gonna be some tears flowing.
All right, so we'll start the money right now. Start betting. I bet he starts crying when he mentions his wife and kids.
You're not wrong.
Because that's how it works. You know, NNC4 is the best than all the rest, is what Marty Engling says.
Dude. Big differ. I think 40's the best.
40 was the best, dude. 40 was my favorite. So you're saying you'll definitely have some tears coming, and that's to be expected, man. How do you not? It's like, it's not the death of a friend, but it damn near feels like it is, man. Mm. You know. So Gene Schaefer says traitor, because I probably said I liked 5. We're professionals. But he was only in 5, so he wouldn't know any better. 4 is the best, better than all the rest. What are they, the Pioneers now?
I have no idea.
We used to be fabulous, but then I think some people didn't like the con, but people would make fun of them for saying they're fabulous. And Hammond is talking about Oki. All right, cool. Any questions, concerns, complaints? Throw them at me right now. Or forever hold your peace. Is there anything you'd like to tell your younger self? If you go back and say, hey, Tim, or Tim, wake the fuck up, and then tell yourself some advice, either let's go with military first, like military advice.
Make grades or rank faster so you don't have to worry about higher tenure.
That's legit.
Take. Take photos.
Hell yeah.
Don't just sit in a bar somewhere in some country drinking a beer and getting drunk. Go and enjoy the culture, because you're only going to be there once. And once you leave that place, you probably never see that again.
That definitely. The whole like bar thing, man, it's so easy to get wrapped up in just being an alcoholic.
Right.
You know, so yeah. And then what would you tell like your regular everyday self?
I don't know. No.
Kano says, what's up?
Just be open to learning. Be open to new experiences.
Hell yeah.
Try everything once.
Good old Angel Kano. Remember Kano?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, he says, what's up? What's up?
What's going on? How's retirement?
That's another dude. I freaking love that cat, man. He's like you. Just quiet, you know, but gets his shit knocked out, knows what's up. Good people, man.
Right. Well, he made Mass Chief, and I'm just a little only first class petty officer.
Yeah, I say that about a lot of my same hair. You know what? Fuck it. You know, I look at it like this. I didn't make chief. I made a lot of them, though.
You know what I mean? True.
And that's just like, it is how it is. And then, so that's another thing, too. Don't let that beat yourself up. You're, from here on out, you're going to meet people like, you're going to meet so many people like after it's done. And it's just, it doesn't matter if, most civilians don't know the difference between a commander and a corporal.
That's true. They don't.
You know, they have no clue. And then also it's just like all the rank thing's going to kind of go away. And it's going to be like, you served and you did honorably. You know, you influenced a lot of people. So I see this too with a lot of Cold War veterans that didn't get to go to Iraq, and they feel kind of bad also. You know, so some people feel bad they didn't make the next rank. Some people feel bad they didn't go to a combat zone or something like that. And it's just like, dude, you served honorably. You fucking did the best you could. And I'm going to kill this damn thing that's making noise.
That's going to pick up on my...
All right, cool. There's a lot of button pushing.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know which one actually turns the damn thing off. So, but yeah, man, like, it's crazy, dude. It goes by so fast. And like I was saying, though, it's like at the end of the day, you served honorably, you know, and there's a lot of shit it could have, would have. No matter where you're at, you're like, fuck, I wish I would have made it to the next one. You know what I mean? It's just like, but well, at the, you fucking did it, dude.
Well, I have no regrets not making chief. Like,
yeah.
Like you said, no, I served my country. Yeah. I wanted to. I mean, my original intent was only doing 5 years and get out. And
yeah.
Go to college. It didn't work out, and obviously plans changed, and here I am.
I keep hoping I make it like Ernest Borgnine did. Ernest Borgnine was an honorary chief. He was what do you call it? He got out as a first class, and he's just a badass. And he did a lot of really cool charity work, and you know. And then somebody just pretty much was like, dude, you know what? You should be an honorary chief. You know, so it's just like, I keep PNA in those exams as well. Pass and not advance for the civilians out there. Dude, I really appreciate you coming through, man. What else? Is there anything you'd like to say or anything out you want to put out there? Any shout outs to anybody? Kano, what's up, buddy? Schaefer, we still love you.
The only thing is, you know, when you're in, get college done, because, you know, It costs a lot of money in the civilian world.
Fuck yeah, man.
I got all the way up to a master's degree and I have zero college debt.
You got your master's while on active duty?
I did.
That's awesome. Like, so where all did you like go to school?
I started out in Coastline Community College.
Okay.
It was in Fountain Valley, California, just down the road. Then from there, I went to Southern New Hampshire University, located in Manchester, New Hampshire, but I did it all online. And from there, I went to Colorado State University and got my master's degree.
That I did not know. Like, that's badass, dude. Like, that's gangster as fuck. No college debt with a master's degree.
Yep.
And that's where a lot of people can't, you know, can't touch that, you know? I mean, sound like went from Boys to Men to freaking MC Hammer. Can't touch this. But, dude, that's way cool, man. And then, do you plan on further going to any more school, or you're like, I'm good?
I'm good with a master's. I'm not going any higher.
It's like anything else at this point. It's like maybe to learn a specific job. Hey, what's up, Marty Yingling? I see you're watching right now too. All right, so, but yeah, man, that's way cool. Fuck yeah, man. And
I don't think I need a doctorate for what I want to do the rest of my life.
Yeah, and you just want to manage construction projects, right?
Right.
You're like, you know what? I loved Andros so much. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, Andros was fun. It was right next to Nassau, Bahamas.
Dude, how, like, Bobby Mitchell. Bobby Mitchell was in 40 with us. Good dude. Well, some people might disagree, but I like the guy. No, but he was in, I was in Kuwait and he was in Andros and you know, Facebook Messenger, blah 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 at the time. And he's like, man, this sucks, dude. Like, all I can do is just drink and fish. And I'm like, yeah, man, sounds like you got a hell of a bad deployment right now. Fucking Andros. By the way, it's 128 degrees out here and Kuwait, my balls are stuck to my leg. My butthole is like Velcroed shut because of the sweat so bad. And we changed it at night. We went from days to nights for welding. Yeah, whatever, pal. Oh, shit, man. Yeah, well, we'll wrap this in a second, man. Yeah, but definitely.
It's an Andros with Riesberg.
Oh, shit.
I don't remember Riesberg or not, but he was there in the same spot. And Harger, Billy Harger.
Billy Harger, man. Now, that's an amazing guy. I think it was Timmy Fabry's retirement ceremony. I ran into Billy as a civilian. And he looks the same, man.
He does.
He just looks amazing. Still like one of the best fucking dudes. Just a great guy, man.
Raging man.
What's that?
Never aging man. Friends on Facebook.
No, and pretty much.
Haven't seen him age a day since we left Bahamas.
And I remember because I was a boot first when we were in Guam, and then I was only there for a few weeks because Bobby Moons was like, "Hey Obi, how do you feel about coming to Iraq?" And I was like, "Do you care how I feel?" He said, "Nah, see you in 2 weeks." And but I was a boot first, and I learned a lot just from the short time I was around Billy. It's just, you know, different types of just leading. Mostly, right. Primarily leading by example and then like not going back, not going back on your word. There's a lot of good leadership I took out of that cat, man. Good people, man.
Yeah. He's a good leader.
Hell yeah.
You love PT though, too.
Oh, dude, I was a fat fuck. So what I always do is when I was a fat fuck in the command before I got there, so I still had the mentality like I got to run as often as possible. So I was wearing NMCB5. Shirts and I was, you know, in 40 running around in a 5 shirt. It was my second battalion, so it's like, oh hell yeah. I'm gonna open this. I got this some swag in from Coining Culture, which the dude that runs it, he's a active duty YN1, and it's another one of those cool coin companies. I'm gonna check this shit out. They just sent me this stuff. And between this dude and Trashy Panda is another coin company.
Oh yeah.
And then those cats, I love them. They're working on a coin for me. And then I had them on the podcast not too long ago. Oh shit, there's two coins in here. Let's see what this looks like. All right. Boom. Oh, badass, dude. All right, cool. Check that out. All right, for those that can't see and are listening, dude, it's a freaking
That's pretty neat.
Coin, it's got a CB in the middle and a spindy thing, because the other one was a YN rating.
That's pretty neat.
That's fucking awesome, man. Good job. Good
never
quality.
Seen one with a spinner in the middle before.
Neat. All right. For those that can see, here it is. A CB that spins in the middle. Good shit, man. All right. I'm happy with the quality from these cats, man. All right. So... Josh Davis, Gene Schaefer, a lot of these other cats are like, what's up? What's going on? Marty Yingling's doing good. His retirement gig's the best, he says. It's fucking awesome. Yeah. All right, man. Any questions, comments, concerns, anything else before we wrap this up?
No. Well, since you got two of those, no. I think one of those looked good in my collection.
Wow, so much for me just giving you one away. But... You know what, dude? I think you're right. And you know what, though? For fucking, dude, to be your guest speaker, you're a stingy fucker. No, you can't have one. Here. Oh, dude.
Thanks, man.
I can't believe it. Like, that's awesome. All right. If you ever make coins, you got to give me one now.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Anything else? In closing? No?
Yeah, if you feel lonely in here, you know, come on to Phoenix to visit me.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Thanks. I guess like...
We can toss a few back in my pool.
Okay. I'm pissing it. No, I'm kidding. No, totally kidding. All right. So actually, you know what? I'd like to do that. I would like to come out in about a year, a little over a year. And like, so what are some of the things that you're kind of like, I don't want to say concerned, but what are some of the things you're thinking about for the future as far as like benefits or whatever, like the retirement side of the house?
I never really thought about that. No, just collecting my pension and I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a disability for being a CB for, you know, 2+ decades.
Yeah.
Got to be worth something. You know, we're breaking my back for 20 years, almost literally. Just having a good job and, you know, being a good family man. You know, be a good husband, good father. That's pretty much what I look forward to these days.
All right, cool. We're going to do a Q&A with the wife and kids next. No, I was kidding.
That's fine.
Like, hey, was he okay? Or was he a piece of shit after he got out? But for the other part of it, make sure you hit up your Google Phoenix Veteran Service Officers and VSO and make sure you set up an appointment with those cats as well, because that's where you're going to go. You're going to make sure all that other stuff. And a lot of times too, not just for you, but for anybody else that's separating from the military, if you don't have one, I know I say this all the time, almost every episode, but if you don't have one on your way out, it's kind of like going to court without a lawyer. So you're kind of fucking yourself and you don't want to do that. And it's just, they've helped me out so much that it's just like, I'm going to constantly say that, especially because it's a free service. And it's also one of those services, if it's not utilized, it's going to go away.
Right.
Well, at least the staff's going to thin out. It's, you know, so instead of like having 4 or 5 where they should have 4 or 5, there's only going to be like 3 or 4 because, or 1 or 2, because all we see is these pop-up commercials on the internet of, are you a veteran? Would you like to blah, blah, blah? Do you want to expand your benefits? Hey, if you're under 80% or blah, 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 we should do it. And also, we're going to take all 30% of whatever you're going to make. And it's just like, no.
And trying to find a VFW or American Legion so I can, you know, sit down and toss a cold one back every now and then.
Hell yeah, man. Like the American Legion, I'm a member of both the Legion and the VFW. I'm a life member of VFW, and I'm an annual member of American Legion because it's way, way cheaper for a life of VFW. American Legion, like, dude, that's like 30-something a year. Initially, I joined just for the parking because it was next door to the Hollywood Bowl. And if I paid $35 a year and I watch one concert, that parking pays for itself, you know, but I was like, well, let's work at KLOS, the radio station, 95.5 KLOS out here. I get tickets to the Hollywood Bowl for free, like all the time. So I was at a fucking show all the time, dude. You know, like,
we should have known. I mean, dude, concerts I could have gone to.
Yeah.
And pass it coming here.
How many times? I'm on Facebook, dog. You can see it, like, hey, you know,
I did see a concert there. A few years, like 5 years ago now, took my wife and my daughter and saw Zach Brown Band, actually.
Nice, man.
He put on a good show.
Hell yeah. Hollywood Bowl's amazing, man. So, anything else you want? Any more closing arguments? They were at court. Any more closing arguments? Any more statements?
Are we in litigation now?
That's it, man. Dude, you got your master's. You know all those fancy words. So also, before you go too, I'm going to give you one of the buttons, give you one of my beep stickers, the 3 inches.
Damn.
You get a couple 2 inches, and there you go. Hard hat. I call those the hard hat stickers.
Well, I'm not going to wear a hard hat anymore. But
nah, but, well, you never know, man. Doing that contract stuff, you might have to be out on project sites every once in a long while and being like, yo, what's up?
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe. Who knows? Either way.
You also had one of these in the first class mess in Camp Shields.
What?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Anybody that's active duty, if you're watching this and you're deployed, message me, Facebook message me, or in, Instagram message me, at Josh96O'Brien. Message me, and I'll send them to you. As long as I can mail them out. Here he comes, Spaz, the cat. Yeah, message me, man. I'll send them out to you as soon as possible. I always like sending stickers and shit out to people on active duty. If you're buttons, these things cost me about $6 to mail because I have to put them in a different envelope so it doesn't mess everything up. And, you know, so anyways, if you guys are interested in a humble bundle, just send me some money and I'll send you out some cool shit. This is how I pay for the podcast. The goal is to keep this free for everybody for whatever. You know what I mean? Because everybody has a different story. You know what I mean? You know, some people, dude, they, you know, CBs, 20 years. Some person like, you know, air crew. Yeah, everybody's got these different stories, but there's something we can all relate to. And that's kind of like the transition from active duty to civilian world and just the whole thing of just the unity and the family and the camaraderie and all that other shit too. So,
yeah. So it was like saying goodbye to a family.
It is.
After
it,
2+ decades.
It really is. It's like, you know, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Spaz the cat's out here running around, running amok on my wires. All right. So I guess we're in camp. And unless you got anything else, you good?
Yeah, I'm good. Are you good?
Oh, fuck yeah, man. All right. So, for all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. And never, ever forget, Obi loves you. And so does Spaz over here. All right. And we're out. Boop. The CBs of the neighborhood.